This is a subject that's always one that I enjoy speaking about, and whenever I first had the opportunity to go, I had some different brethren across the country, but mostly around home. One in particular come to me and said, "Brother Thomas, I'm glad that you're going so that you can come back and tell us if the Lord's in the work or not." And I stopped the brother right there and I said, "Brother, if I didn't believe the Lord was in the work, I'd stay home." The Lord willing, just to give you very briefly the details, we will be leaving on Monday night, actually, after the fourth Sunday in this month. That's the 29th of November. And we will be, of course, spend the day traveling, and or the night traveling. And then we'll return in the wee hours of Saturday morning on December the 11th. That's the Saturday before the second Sunday in December. And as Brother Jeff said, my wife is going to get to travel with me again. I consider that a great blessing of the Lord in many ways. And then Brother Freddie and his dear companion will be going along with us, and Brother Littleton and Brother Donnie Hobjewatch Jr. Looking forward to traveling with all of these brethren. The journey has already been somewhat of a roller coaster ride before we even get on the plane. There have been a lot of seemingly more obstacles this time for Sister Lane and I personally than the first trip. But the Lord thus far has worked all of those things out for us, and we're really looking forward to the trip. Now, on this particular trip, we're basically going to divide into three groups. Be Sister Lane and myself, Brother Fred and his wife, and Brother Littleton and Brother Donnie. We're going to spend the majority of the time that we're over there in the western part of the island of Mindanao, the Iligan City area, Pagadian City area, we are, of course, be visiting the various churches and fellowships in that particular part of the Philippines. Whenever Sister Lane and I made the first trip, it was very easy to just fall in love with everybody over there. And we did. But it invariably, though that's the case, you always are particularly drawn to certain groups or certain individuals. And that of course happened also. And since we have come back, I mean, as soon as we got on the plane to come back home, as much as we were ready to get home and play with the new grandchild, which, by the way, I've told Sister Elaine that I want to start going every 6 months. Every time, the two times that we've gone, we've got a new grandbaby out of the deal. And if that'll help that situation, then we'll just go every 6 months. But our children might not appreciate that. But anyhow, as soon as we got on the plane, we were ready to go back to the Philippines. One thing that we hope to do one day, seriously, and we want to ask you to pray for us in this, is we want to go and stay an extended term. You know, not 10 days is a long time, but it's over before you know it. And there's lots to do. That's one of our burdens. And we had thought maybe this trip that we could work that out, but it hasn't worked out that way. One of the things that we, Sister Lane and I, hope to accomplish is to be able to spend a lot of one-on-one time with some of the brethren and sisters in their home setting. As Brother Jeff and I were discussing just a few minutes ago, whenever the brethren first went over there, they just didn't get the opportunity to talk to the women and the children. That's their culture. That's the way they are. Well, when Sister Lane and Sister Ella went, that changed. And I asked Brother Jeff, He may have been wondering why I was asking him. I said, well, how much correspondence have you had with the sisters? And it's been very limited, which of course you would expect. But my wife and I get a steady stream of correspondence, mostly from the sisters. And we find that they're asking the same questions that our sisters at Piney Grove ask. You know, the scriptures talk about, you know, that the older women, what kind of character they're to be, that they may teach. Notice that purpose statement, that they may teach the young women, you know, to be this way. And they say, well, how do we do this? You know, we hear it preached, but, you know, how do we apply this? How do we make this practical in our lives? And we hope and pray, and we want you to pray, especially Sister Elaine, you know, this is not being recorded, is it? You know, that we're trying to set up a women's ministry over there. But that's one of the things that she has a burden for, and I share her burden. And I've told, you know, we're going as a team. You know, I'm not going to do my own thing and her to do her own thing. We hope that one of the things that we'll be able to at least show is by example that we work together. You know, yes, the Lord's called me, but the first person in my ministerial life is Sister Elaine. She's, you know, if I didn't have her to lean on, I'd either walk sideways or fall. Probably fall more often than walk sideways. And we want to share that with them as much as we can. And of course, if those that have been over there, you know, you just fall in love with the children. Several groups across the country, Sister Judy Guest sent us a tape of scriptural children's songs. And we're going to take them and the words to them and help the mothers and show them, you know, that this is one way that you can help your children learn Scripture. And that's one thing, of course, that's our basis, is the Word of God. As all these fine presentations and sermons, messages have been brought, have been centered on the Word of God, that's what we're going to do. And, of course, we know that that's a lot to do in a little time, a short time, to do it. And that's our burden is to get, you know, personal in these areas and talk to them one-on-one, have Bible studies with them, and so forth. and, of course, trying to keep this short, you know, Brother Jeff said, I'm going to just give you just a few minutes. Reminds me of the first service we were at over there. One of the brethren, I don't remember if it was Brother Constancio Tejada or Brother Junio, as we call him, said, we want to hear all nine of these ministers. We want you to feel free. We want you to say what you want to. Say it in as much time as you want to. Just keep it under 3 minutes. But there's so much that, you know, I just, when I get started talking about this subject, it's an endless subject. My mind is just struggling with all the things that I'd like to say without being a taxation. But in the last thing that I would like to say is that we definitely learned that this is a monumental endeavor. You know, I don't want to make it, I don't want that to sound wrong. Brother Mike's sermon this morning touched me. It made me want to cancel my reservation. In studying the integrity of my heart, am I going for the wrong reason? Am I going for Thomas Bond, or am I going for the burden to do that which is God's will? And that's always been what I've tried to search out. Is it God's will that I be a part of this? You know, and I don't want to come back and say and do it all just so that I'm part of the, say that I've been part of the group that's gone. You know, if if my name gets left off of the list of those that have gone, I hope that I can say, well, that's fine with me. But we have discovered that in doing this, you have to bathe it in prayer. So I want to request or challenge, ask all of you that are here. On Sunday evening, the 28th, that's fourth Sunday night this month, we at Piney Grove, every fourth Sunday evening, that's our monthly time, we do it at least once a month, that we have set a time and we just have prayer on that evening. And this time has worked out like it did the first time we went. We left the day after that service. And that was as good a send-off that Sunday night as we could have had. Brother Lamar and his family were with us. I believe Brother Lynn was there that night also. And after that, hey, I was ready to go tackle, you know, the world. Just, you know, let's go. The power that was felt there. So my request is that now that you know that that's what we're going to be doing that night, if you feel so inclined for Sunday night, whether you're having services or wherever you are, that if you will join us in prayer for this trip, that we might do that which is God's will, and that whatever we do, that it'll be right, it'll be according to the Word of God, and that it'll be glorifying and honoring to Him whom we serve. And thank you. I love you, brethren, and I've appreciated this since I've got the floor. Just in closing, I've appreciated this meeting very much. It's been an encouragement. My fire has been stoked. Thank you.
I'd like you to open your scriptures with us to the third chapter of the book of Jeremiah, where we took the theme for this meeting. I share Brother Bond's excitement at the various opportunities that God is allowing us in our generation to reach the Lord's people in the various parts of the world, as well as across the street and across the living room table. But I want to return for just a few moments to this theme. Let's back up to verse 12 and gather the context. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, "Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree." That's idolatry. "And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding." Now, I believe that this promise that God will send those that instruct the Word, that teach the Word, is absolutely crucial, is absolutely vital to any type of renewal or revival among us. See, this great promise of God sending pastors that will focus upon the Word, not focus upon man-made tradition, not focus upon customs, but focus upon God's Word. Amen. And establish the church upon that identifying mark. You know, we can say that there's not a lot of things in the Old Baptist Church that would appeal to the various people groups in our societies, but let it always be said of us that we focus upon the Word. Amen. I will give you pastors This is a great gift from God. And as I've spoken to several churches in the last few months upon that theme, I've tried to acquaint us with the fact that that's the very thing that we often take for granted. Pastors are easily taken for granted. And I believe no one knows that any more than pastors. But you see, friends, even in those difficult times of discouragement and those times when we feel slighted, may God give us a heart that weighs our little sufferings with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May we focus upon what He endured for our eternal weight of glory. Can we then not endure just a few things here in time?
Amen.
You see, it's no time to give up in the cause of Christ. You're hearing it. Every associational meeting I've been to this year, at least one preacher has stood before God's people and says, listen, the church is supposed to be in the condition it's in today because all the good days are gone. We're in the gleaning years. Haven't you heard that? I've heard it so much this year. We're in the gleaning years. And you know, the churches that are dying out, don't worry about that. God's got all of that in control. You know, you just hang on us for no more type of stuff. But I want you to know this is one preacher here this morning that doesn't believe that all the good days are gone.
Amen.
I believe that there's a lot of good days coming.
Amen.
And we've been experiencing some good days here at Eureka Church.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what binds our hearts together. It's the Word of God and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. When? In response to what? When you are ready to acknowledge your dependency upon God, acknowledge your sinfulness, acknowledge your pride, acknowledge that you have not always walked in the way that God had commanded us to walk, when you acknowledge that apart from the Word of God, we have no foundation, when you're ready to do that, I'm ready to do business with you. You know, I marveled the 12 speakers that we've had during this meeting. Notice how unique their personalities are. Notice how unique their gifts are. I mean, you're talking about people that have come from every conceivable walk of life. Every different kind of background that you can imagine have been represented at this meeting. And yet when they stand in this place and begin to open this word, you and I can relate to them immediately. Why is that? Because they're standing upon the Word. This is the bonding tie that binds you and I so close together. I realize where some of you are hard-headed. I don't want to play, you know. It's been mentioned more than once, you know, pastors can be hard-headed. Well, I know some that can be pretty hard-headed. But you know, I love them still because they love my Savior. I love them still because they're standing on this Word. And I love them even more when I realize that they put up with me. You see, brothers and sisters, we need each other. But we need each other standing upon this Word. I will. This is God's promise, friend. This God hasn't run out of steam. God hasn't run out of blessings. God hasn't run out of the showers that rain down from heaven. I believe that God is still God. And I believe He can raise up a mighty witness in our generation. And I want to be with men of vision. And men that are trying to pursue the revealed will of God to His glory and honor. And brethren, I'm just as serious as I know how to be. And I would encourage you to meet often with ministers and study together and pray together. And preach together. I believe that that's the answer. This independent idea of our day. You know, you just got kind of like an island to yourself. Is foreign to the Word of God. I want you to know we need one another. And we need to pray earnestly for one another. And we need to honor the Word of God. He said, I'm going to give you pastors according to my own heart. They're going to be different. They're going to have different backgrounds. They're going to have different ways of expressing themselves. We ought to be very kind and very generous toward individuals in their terminology. You know, somebody said, well, it's not what he said, it's how he said it. I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, Brother Jeff, you're going to find out that if people can't pick you for what you say, they're going to pick you for how you say it. And I found that to be so true. But we ought to have latitude. I believe that. I believe we need to have latitude toward one another because we're different. And we're coming to the church and coming to the study of the Word of God from different perspectives. And we better make sure that we understand where our brother is coming from before we disagree with him. Because a lot of times I find, has this been your experience, that when disagreements arise between preachers, a lot of times it's just terminology. Have you ever noticed that? But how are you going to come to that understanding? It's when you come and together and sit down and eyeball to eyeball just talk to one another in love. And talk to one another in respect. That's how I believe the integrity that Elder Goins was talking about is not undermined. You want to undermine the events of this meeting and the teachings of this meeting and these men of God here, you want to undermine that? You allow criticism to be scattered. Or you allow someone to believe something that actually didn't happen here or actually wasn't said here to go on. What I'm trying to say is when someone asks you about what was taught here and what was expressed here and what was felt here and what was witnessed here, tell them. And don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared to death. I've been to some meetings down in South Georgia. You know, that's not what I want to tell people. I want to tell people that I've been to a minister's meeting and I've heard some of the most able gifts and the most able presentations I've ever heard in my life. Wish you were there.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, Eureka Primitive Baptist Church would have absolutely nothing to do with something that we needed to be ashamed of. We're standing before you this morning and just making this plea. Brothers and sisters, I believe the hour is late for humankind. I believe we're living in the last days of the last days. And we're standing right on the threshold of a new millennium. A new period of time that we've never experienced before. The year 2000 is right upon us. And oh, my prayer is that we can face the challenges of the next century being bound together and woven in Christian love. If we have disagreements with one another or differences with one another, you know the best way to take care of that is go to that brother alone.
Amen.
Sit down at his table. I've never found an old Baptist minister. I'm talking about a real old Baptist minister that would not be willing to sit down with you over a cup of coffee and talk to you about anything. In my little experience, I've never met the man that would not sit down and honestly talk to you about any subject and his understanding upon that subject. Fact of the matter is, I'll tell you, my daddy, you know, my daddy's ministry lasted about 40 years. And during that period of time, all of the churches, everywhere we stayed, I don't care where we stayed the night, they served us chicken. Daddy called it the gospel bird. And I never let on. I just ate it and all that, you know. But several years went by and Daddy started noticing when we go to these church meetings, I didn't eat chicken. You know? He said, son, what's wrong with you? Don't you like chicken? I said, well, you know, I like it. It's okay. But, you know, I've had enough of it. You know, I'd rather eat something else. He looked at me and he said, son, if I'd have known that, I would have asked that your ordination be delayed 6 months. See, so orthodoxy can be measured by different things. But I want you to understand something. I would love you and I to leave this place just a little bit closer.
Amen.
To one another. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and you know this is going to happen. There's going to be a lot of yeah, and there's going to be a lot of rumors. There's going to be a lot of things said about what's happened here. But I want to confront those criticisms in meekness and humility. I want us to have a greater capacity to understand our people and to understand that they don't always do the right thing, but we love them anyway. And I want you, brothers and sisters, I just appeal to you. I would beg you, earnestly entreat and beseech you this morning to make a covenant with your own heart right now that I'm not going to betray my friendship with these that are here gathered in any way. And if I hear someone assaulting any one of these men's character, I'm going to ask them to relent of that, knowing full well that that's not the case. I appreciate Elder Goins bringing that to our attention again and again and again on integrity. Do we not realize that when we allow one part of our ministry to be assaulted without any defense or without any help on our part, we are undermining all of our ministries? We stand together this morning because of what God's Word teaches. Don't walk away from here and forget that. You know what, in my little way of thinking, I hope Elder Ferris and the Arkansas brethren that go back to Arkansas, I hope this coming week they'll think about those preachers. They say, "Oh Lord, would you bless so-and-so and so-and-so and bless that church." I hope when Elder Cagle goes back up to Roswell and you Kentucky brethren go back and you dear ones from Tennessee, y'all, when you think about these meetings, that you'll say, "Lord, would you bless those preacher boys?" You see, that's what I think these meetings are about. And I want every one of you to know I love you in the Lord. And I'm going to be praying for you. And I'm going to ask God again and again and again that He'll send those fires of revival among us. And I want to encourage you again and again and again that those fires will never come until we exalt the standard of truth as high as the Word of God is. God bless you and thank you for coming. Elder Brett.